It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Que Golazo. As you can see, Jimmy and I are now recapping the Champions League final as Chelsea beat Manchester City. The kryptonite to Pep Guardiola, that is Thomas Tuchel and Chelsea. Oh, my goodness. If you're watching this on YouTube, by the way, I'm doing this from the Stamford studio, so I don't have my fancy background by Jimmy looking as ever. Jimmy, how are you, bud? Give me your thoughts.
Honestly, I'm in disbelief, everybody. I really can't believe that Chelsea beat this Manchester City team three times in the last 2.5-3 months. I didn't think it was possible. I'll raise my hand and accept responsibility for that. And I'm really impressed. I thought the way that they played today, Chelsea, the first half was so open and crazy. I was like, what is even going on right now? I'm going to focus on Chelsea first, Luis, and then we can dive into Man City. But Chelsea are so good, even before they scored the goal, of stifling other teams' attacks. With the way they're currently set up, they don't give away a lot of good looks. So when I start to look back on the last couple months and some of the goals they gave up, a goal to Porto where they lost 1-0, but it was probably the best goal of the Champions, like that bicycle kick, right? Then they lost the FA Cup to Yuri Tielemans, scoring an absolute banger from 20, 25 yards out. Then they gave up a... There was another goal they gave up. You just have to score world-class goals against these guys. And I thought, again today, against a team that was really put in a position without a defensive mid with from Pep Guardiola to try to create these numerical advantages, they were just kind of limping along, Man City, really struggling to solve this defense, even though they'd played against them a few times. And it makes me wonder about Pep. Did they just think, well, I never really showed my true hand. I made 8 changes before the FA Cup semifinal when we lost. We should have won that one in the regular season in the Premier League because, you know, Sergio Aguero missed a penalty. We did enough there, whatever. And I think he thought, oh, I'm just going to put my best lineup out there with all my talented world-class players, and that's going to help will us to win. And Chelsea were just up for it. And I just want to say that my man of the match was N'Golo Kanté. That guy is absolutely ridiculous as a player. Some of the plays that he was making, he's like in 4 different spots at once. I have his jersey up behind me for a reason because I love that dude. And he just gave me another reason to love him even more. I didn't even think it was possible, Luis, but I found another reason to love N'Golo Kanté even more.
Oh, N'Golo Kanté, pa la la la, il est petit, he's just incredible.
He's so good.
Listen, Jimmy, I tweeted exactly the same thing after the game finished. It's unbelievable how when he's healthy and when the system fits him, he's honestly the best player in the world because if you want to beat a side with N'Golo Kanté, you have to beat N'Golo Kanté. Mm-hmm, like You think about N'Golo Kanté first ahead of the team itself. That's how good I think he is. He breaks plays. He controls the ball. He nearly scored himself entering the ball. To your point, he's everywhere. It's just unbelievable. But, you know, fair play to Chelsea. I can't believe that. Honestly, I don't want to go down this road, Jimmy, but did Pep Guardiola overthink this?
He did.
Because
there
was no Rodri, there was no Fernandinho. I mean, I got very worried as soon as I saw the starting lineup. What do you think?
I agree with you. I wanted to give Chelsea their due and obviously give a shout out to Thomas Tuchel, who has to be considered one of the best managers in the world. I don't know how else you could say it, right? For him to take over a team mid-season, to deal with all the stuff he did at PSG, and to be able to unlock. It just felt like good timing where Chelsea needed a little bit more structure and Tuchel needed a team that really fit his playing style. It's like a marriage made in heaven. Now, with regard to your point about Pep Guardiola, I think he made a mistake. When I saw the lineup as well, I thought you have maybe too many of the same types of players out on the field. And that's going to be a problem because they might run into each other. The way that they're going to support each other might be a little bit different. That's on the attacking side of the ball. And we saw that. In fairness, though, Chelsea are very good at kind of blocking those passing lanes and getting in those areas where City like to set up shot. They're definitely, you can tell they've been prepared and have been thinking about how they're going to do it. On the defensive side, though, and this is me speaking as a former center back, you need to have some consistency with regard to who's in front of you and how they protect you and how they shift the play to certain areas. It helps you as a center back to anticipate and to take those risks of when to hold the line and when to drop off and all these little things. And when you're playing in a big game like a Champions League final, to take that away. Now, I this is a crazy thing to liken it to, but in the World Cup in 2014, it still drives me crazy. We had Kyle Beckerman sit in front of our, let's talk about the U.S. men's national team, in front of our back four for the three group stage games. Okay, we play Belgium in the round of 16, and we get out of the group of death. We play Belgium in the round of 16. Jurgen Klinsmann elects to take him out, okay, and put in Jeff Cameron because Jeff Cameron played against Fellaini a couple times in the Premier League. Just the most ridiculous argument to make. You take out Beckerman, and we give up more shots and more chances, and Tim Howard has to make more saves than any other keeper in the history of the World Cup. And I think a lot of it was because the center backs were like, we don't have any protection. And I started to have PTSD with regard to, I'm like, I've seen this before. Where have I seen this before? And I remember. And it's because you have to have that player from a defensive perspective that the center backs are used to. Then this is what pisses me off too. I said at halftime when I was watching this, you have to bring on Fernandinho now.
That's what I said over here. Exactly.
If you're going to make that change, Luis, if you're going to make that change,
you make it at halftime.
You make it there.
And that's the fact exactly that, what I said. Yeah.
The fact that he made it at the 63rd minute
was ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. I literally was saying that word for word. It's like, it's honestly the most ridiculous thing. Why are you making that decision right there? Because it was a reaction to Pulisic coming in? No, you have to make it at halftime because you've got to protect your back four. It's unbelievable that he didn't do that.
For me, it's an acknowledgement that he made a mistake. And if you're going to acknowledge it at halftime.
Yeah,
why wait
for
the 63rd minutes? And what happens? Fernandinho comes in, and all of a sudden, City start to play a little bit better because the balance is better. They don't have six of the same guys trying to find the space in the same ways. They don't have, you know, and I just thought he did. He overthought it.
He did. And let's go back for a second, Jimmy, too. But let's stick to this point, though, Jimmy, because let's talk about it from the goal perspective, because right there is exactly the proof in the pudding, right? It was a good counterattack from Chelsea. Fair play. Mason Mount is unbelievable. Fair play, right? That ball to Kai Havertz was great. Fair play. But there was an acre of space where if you have Fernandinho, I guarantee you that ball doesn't happen. Definitely not that easy. Because he's trying to create that protection. And when you don't have that, they have like, you know, Man City gave away acres of space in situations. And that's exactly how they got punished. It's unbelievable to me. I know that we're going to be harping on this, everybody. I'm sorry, but it's unbelievable.
It's important. It's important.
It's unbelievable to me that the entire theme of this tournament has been, I think Pep Guardiola has learned his lesson, Jimmy. I think he knows that simplicity is the ultimate sophistication.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Why are you not putting on somebody like Fernandinho or Rodri that can protect those moments? And look what happens.
I think he got himself in a position. Everybody does this. This isn't isolated to Pep Guardiola, but there are moments in your life, no matter if you're coaching a team or whatever, where you hope things work out, right? Instead of actually putting things in place where you just know they're going to work out. There's such a big distinction between hoping and knowing.
Yeah.
And when you put Gundogan in front of that back four, and you're like, okay, Ilkay, you're a tremendous player. We love you. We're going to ask you to do a little something different this time because we think it'll gain whatever the argument was. And I'm sure everybody was going to buy in. No problem. But you're now asking somebody and you're putting them in a position and you get to the point where you're hoping Gundogan works out instead of knowing that Fernandinho or Rodri will work out because that's what's been working for you all season.
Yeah.
And the fact, to your point, that is an unacceptable goal to give up for a team of City's quality. A run inside the gap between what's Zinchenko doing? I'm not a big fan of Zinchenko today. I thought Cancelo probably would have been a better fit.
No, he made a few mistakes, Zinchenko.
He
today.
Did. He just was like too casual on that one. He was trying to hold the line. Diaz had dropped off. Just there's a lack of awareness there. His timing was, I mean, you got to track the runner there. Sometimes when there's going to be plays during a game where things are going to break from a team shape perspective, and you just have to understand it, recognize it, and make the play. Sometimes you're going to have to make some runs that you don't want to make. That's the game, right? Yeah. Who's going to suffer and actually make those plays? And that was the difference. We're talking about the finest of margins. Now, that said, I do want to get back to Chelsea. Their effort and their desire and the pride that they were taking in defending was tremendous. The whole game. Thiago Silva goes out, no problem. Christensen comes in, got it solved, right? Thiago Silva, much better player, a little bit more class to his game in almost every single facet, but Christensen comes in and they don't miss a beat. And I don't think City actually really put them under pressure in any meaningful way. This is where the Harry Kane to City talk could prove to be a little bit more valuable, where Pep could go in and say, hey, listen, we actually probably need a big, giant, strong number nine, because when we are losing games, we need somebody to whip crosses in. We can't keep whipping them into cute as a button, 5'5" midfielders. You know,
like Jimmy, that's like what I told Ian after the game, that now they got to go hard on somebody like Harry Kane. You can't just be so cute, especially against a team like Chelsea that knows how to protect when you don't have a natural number nine. But listen, let's give fair play to Chelsea. Unbelievable. Thomas Tuchel comes in January and, you know, they have Champions League anyway because they ended fourth. Right. They got to an FA Cup semifinal. Fair enough. They lost against Leicester City. But just the overall strategy and the overall way that now Chelsea look like is really great. And Tuchel, at the very least, has done this. He's given them an identity, which is what we were crying out with Frank Lampard. And now they're the winners of the Champions League because they knew at the very least who they were. And Tuchel didn't get cute. Tuchel didn't become complicated. He simplified the moment and he said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to stick to it. And they follow through. And it's unbelievable. Well done, Edouard Mendy, by the way. First African goalkeeper to win the Champions League. Bruce Grobbelaar won it with Liverpool in 1984 when it was the European Cup. But Mendy was so emotional at the end. Just tremendous. I don't know. Overall, everybody. Rudiger was fantastic.
Everybody.
Very
good. I thought Chilwell was excellent. I mean, him getting up and down, I thought – he did a very good job of getting out to Riyad Mahrez quickly and putting him under pressure, getting his head down so he couldn't just pick up his head and do whatever he wanted. Little things I saw from Chelsea, they were doing those little things that win games. And even though I felt like lost a little bit of that, or they looked a little tired over the last few weeks and they dropped three out of their last four and obviously were heartbroken to lose the FA Cup. They showed something. They dug deep. You know, I hate getting into cliches per se when we're explaining things, but you could see that there was this effort and desire that if they're going to beat us, we're going to make them score the greatest goal of all time. And when I said at the very beginning, that's how you had to beat Chelsea over these last couple months.
And I said it too. I said you have to take risks outside of the box. You have to be more creative. You can't just expect you're going to walk it in because you're not going to walk it in. It's not going to happen. So well done, Chelsea. 1-0, Champions League winners. Now, before we leave here, Jimmy Conrad, let me ask you this. I mean, we talked about Harry Kane and all that stuff. What does Man City do now? What does Pep Guardiola do this summer? Because the coveted title, you haven't won a Champions League without Lionel Messi. Like, that's still going to chase you. You're Premier League champions. Well done. But the Champions League is still not yours, Manchester City. So what happens now this summer?
Well, if I'm Pep initially, I go get drunk. I don't know if he drinks or whatever, but I just like, you got to relax a little bit. Just throw back some beers.
Just get wasted.
Just got to release that pressure and that tension, that anxiety.
Just let it go.
And obviously your disappointment, massive, massive disappointment because you had the team. You know, Kevin De Bruyne getting hurt didn't help them at all. We saw Antonio Rudiger dabble into the dark arts of defending. Like, he got hit in the face when he got hit in the shoulder. You got to love that. Very Sergio Ramos of him. He probably like, hey, Sergio, how did you get Mo Salah to the Champions League final. Show me what you did.
He sent them the YouTube.
He did. Take a look at this. This is what you need to do. So with regard, though, to City, I think at some point, Messi's not going to come at this point. I think he's going to stay with Barcelona for sure. So that's out of the equation. Realistically, I think you got to go get one of the big number nines. I think you got to go try to get Harry Kane. You got to go try to get Erling Haaland.
You need a big star striker.
Because otherwise, and I know you'll have to tinker a little bit with regard to how you play, because it won't be the same if you bring in one of those big guys. A lot more is going to have to revolve around that particular player. But I think you need an option, even off the bench, of a proper number nine. And they just don't have it. Gabriel Jesus isn't that. Sergio Aguero's not that. They need somebody up top. And somebody that can really commit. You know, yeah. It could be Harry Kane. It could be a whole bunch of people, but I don't know.
I do think that Harry Kane is perfect for it because Tottenham fans, but it because he's so mobile outside of the box and he was one of the top guys in assists as well. So like that is just the kind of person that they need. But I'm with you. They need a star number nine. Well, Chelsea, they look good. Now they're just going to build on. So what do they do now this summer? Because they're obviously Champions League is something that it's an amazing achievement, but obviously Roman Abramovich wants that Premier League title back again as well. So what do they do? What are they looking for?
Yeah, great question. I think you take a look at what was working and what wasn't. You know, maybe you move Tammy Abraham on. You move on a couple other players. Azpilicueta, your back line, Thiago Silva, Antonio Rudiger. They probably have maybe one more season. So it's a good opportunity, actually, to say, hey, I need one more year from you guys. And then it's going to be like the next wave. You know, so it's either Christensen, Zuma. It's unfortunate they let Tomori go to AC Milan. I think he would have been a nice choice to kind of fill in these gaps. Reece James will start to get more and more responsibility. Maybe he can tuck into that back three. They've got options. I don't know if Jorginho stays. You know, I'm kind of curious about a couple things, and N'Golo Kante will. Now it's just like kind of, how do you get a little bit more out of what's already there, but then also add in a few pieces and maybe calling back some players on loan, because we know they have like 1,000 players out on loan, and trying to figure out and connect the dots in a certain way, and obviously continuing to give some of their top young players some opportunities as well. So it's a great time to be a Chelsea fan, and I'm a little jealous.
Yeah, you can say that again, but well done, Chelsea. Hey, you know who Chelsea didn't beat twice? Aston Villa. We drew and beat them. So Pep, if you want some tips, Dean Smith is right there on your phone. You can call him up. But well done, Chelsea. Champions League winners. Unbelievable. 1-0 against Man City. And Jimmy, this was our last Champions League episode. It doesn't mean that we're going away, because we got
Nations League for six weeks. Wait, Champions League qualifying starts in 6 weeks. What are you talking about?
Hey, Nations League, Euros.
We have so much.
Listen, we're here. You're not. You can't get rid of us. We're like your annoying, greasy teenager. We're not going anywhere. So, Jimmy Conrad, final thoughts before we say goodbye.
No, I just want to give another shout out to Chelsea, Thomas Tuchel in particular, and N'Golo Kante, all the guys. Christian Pulisic, congratulations for being playing in the Champions League final and then winning it, because Jovan Karaski was the first male to do it for us, but didn't get off the bench for Borussia Dortmund in 1997. So congratulations to him. And honestly, if I'm Christian Pulisic, and I put this out in a tweet, when I go in to join the U.S. men's national team, Luis, I'm walking around and just kind of slow playing. Hey, how did you guys end up this season? Everybody kind of gives you your answer, and you pretend to listen. You're like, I won the Champions League, so suck it, haters. You know, that's what I would do.
I'm wearing a t-shirt. You know who won the Champions League? Yeah. This guy.
Yeah, I won the Champions League. What did you ever do? You know, so exactly. I it's amazing. I'm really happy for Christian. And obviously, when you win something of this stature, they can never take it away from you. And I'm excited for him and just for the future of the U.S. in general. But focusing on Chelsea, this is a great achievement. Thomas Tuchel deserves a ton of credit. And I'm really excited about what they're going to look like moving forward.
Unbelievable. Jimmy Conrad, thank you so much, brother.
Thanks, Alamy.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.